It's The Record. I'm Steve Scheer, a Week in Review extra. Knut Berger writes at Mossback. Eli Sanders, associate editor at The Stranger. Essex Porter, senior political reporter for Cairo 7 News. We have talked a lot over the years about Washington's business climate and its tax policy. And there was and we have this election, and this election that's coming up is in part about jobs and what kind of jobs will be created. So there was the nonpartisan nonprofit tax foundation released its annual state's ranking based on business climate. Washington State came in sixth. Wyoming, South Dakota, Nevada, Alaska, and Florida are less burdensome for businesses, the foundation said, than Washington. That is not the same information we get from other reports, which is usually said that Washington is a terrible place for business. What
you
make
it is some politicians who usually say Washington's a terrible place for business, but this is not the first time Washington is ranked in the top 10 on a survey of places that are good for doing business. I think part of the reason for that, I haven't seen this report, but part of the reason is that there's not an income tax in Washington.
What I wanted to say is that the reason it sounds unusual to your ears is because it's not what we hear from Republicans running for office in this state. It's not what we hear from business groups or from major businesses, say Boeing, sometimes, that are looking for tax breaks. They will rail against the unfriendly business climate in the state. This gives the lie to that. And it also reminds of another recent study that was out that showed that Washington is the most regressive state in the nation when it comes to taxing poor people. And so what these two studies together show is the opposite of the dominant impression, I think, among voters in Washington state, which is that Washington is a very business-friendly state when it comes to our tax structure and incredibly unfair on poor people.
Sales tax burden, 48th Washington ranks. And based on corporate taxes, we rank 30th. So, you know, somewhere in the middle there.
A lot of our tax system, the way it's evolved over the years, is basically written for Boeing to their advantage. And as, you know, business climate changes for different competitive industries, we create tax breaks. We take them away once in a while. But you get shifts. So it doesn't surprise me, just in the sense that I think our tax system has largely been shaped by some of the large corporate players here. But that doesn't meet all the needs that business have. The biggest unmet need, arguably, is education and higher ed. And that's, when business complains about the business climate, part of it is that the conditions of business are changing globally. So as those business conditions change, business adds to its list, its want list of what it needs. So if you're going to be in the knowledge worker business, then you're going to want to see more money spent on higher ed. You're going to want to see money spent on attracting big businesses here that can be job generators.
On the question of businesses needing an educated workforce in the state, that's what gets us back to the income tax. The income tax measure that failed in the state a couple of years ago would have brought in billions for education by taxing just the top income earners in this state. And so it could have found the money that the state continually can't find to create a more educated workforce for the businesses that are complaining we don't have one.
You know, we have an interesting race, some interesting races going on that sort of touch on that. The Sewanee-Conlon race, the city council race here. We also have in SeaTac this idea of a $15 minimum wage. Essex, you talked to McGinn and Murray, the two Senate candidates, the two mayor candidates in Seattle. I've just elevated them. Does the issue of, you know, economic fairness and business climate crop up in the interviews you did with them?
Yeah, especially economic fairness. So we talked a lot about that. And they both have somewhat complicated stance on this idea of a $15 minimum wage. They both would like to get there or somewhere around there, but you know, as mayor, neither would introduce an immediate $15 an hour wage hike for the city of Seattle. But I also asked them if they lived in SeaTac, would they vote for it? Yes,
both of them. So they do support that notion, because the whole idea of affordability, manufacturing jobs that we've been touching on, that it all comes into play as the city, as you were saying earlier today, as the city diverges, right? There are multiple cities being created, and how they're going to be woven together is going to be difficult if the economics of it are are the big gaps are created in the economics of it.
Yeah. If I could ask Knut to expand on his analysis of Soto and the arena, if Murray is elected, is the NBA arena dead?
No. Murray has said that he supports the current memorandum of understanding. And he's
if I might, he says he doesn't want to undo it.
Doesn't want to undo it.
He's very careful.
And my analysis of that is he doesn't want it to be his tunnel.
Right.
McGinn said he wouldn't oppose the tunnel and then did, and Murray doesn't want to get into that with the arena. But Murray has also laid down markers saying, I am very open to solving the issue of freight mobility. So he thinks that with the right kind of planning and mitigation and everything, they could coexist. Now, whether that would be his preference if he was starting from scratch, I don't know.
Can I ask, just to end this, do you think they could coexist? We talked about this a little bit. Do you think they could coexist? Arena district, manufacturing, industrial jobs, small company jobs?
I'm not sure why they couldn't. When you hear about this, the issue is mainly transportation infrastructure. Can trucks get in and out of the port in the way that they need to while people are going to and from games at the arena? Obviously, that is within our means to solve. It's just a question of whether we are going to invest the money to do it.
And pay attention to following up on the promises.
I think that's correct to a point. But beyond that, the unions and a lot of the manufacturing and industrial people believe that the arena is a stalking horse for basically South Lake unionizing the industrial area down there. There's a huge amount of money going into real estate speculation down there in anticipation. There's been a lot of spot zoning. And some of that area has already made the transition. Starbucks is down there. There are a lot of office workers down there. And I think they think that the arena is just going to be a snowball effect that, yeah, they want transportation mitigation, but they're really worried about the snowball.
Something that we'll be able to follow is when the new mayor actually grapples with these issues. So that'll be interesting as well. A new mayor whoever is mayor, I should say, will be able to follow that. So we can review on the record an extra Essex Porter's conversations with Ed Murray and Mike McGinn will be Monday at 7 on Cairo TV. Knut Berger writes at Crosscut, Seattle Magazine, Eli Sanders at The Stranger. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's The Record.